This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good evening, one and all. I say good evening instead of my usual good morning, good afternoon, good evening, because this is a very special edition of 7-5 Radio. This is the two-year anniversary of 7-5 Radio on the exact dates, April 18th, 2018. Walter Yerkew and myself started 7-5 Radio. So with the coronavirus 19 virus, we had to do couple of changes. I'm talking to you live via Skype. I'm borrowing Wi-Fi from a local restaurant. I'm at the foot of the Key Bridge in Arlington County, Virginia, facing Washington, D.C. Mr. Yerkew, you're with us tonight?
Yeah, I'm right here, my friend. I'm here. Isn't that something? Okay, live and in person.
Yep, we are live. Also, we have a very special guest We have a very special person on also with us, hopefully. He's been around since forever, and we're very glad to have him. Sean Bergen, everybody. Sean, are you with us?
I am indeed, Scoop, and good to hear you and Walter both.
Likewise.
Yep. Okay, great. Well, it wouldn't be a great show without Sean Bergen. Sean Bergen is probably one of the best, greatest reporters out there. That's why he's on Liberty News Radio. Edward R. Murrow couldn't carry his pencil and pen. Anyways, let's first get down to business. A lot of fallen law enforcement officers are dying because of this coronavirus. They're out there doing a job and without fear, without question, they're out there and they're getting sick, and unfortunately they're passing away. There's just been too many to mention at this time. Also, we want to remember two officers whose names I was not able to look up due to current technical situations. The commander from Phoenix Police Department was responding to a domestic call. He was shot and killed. And an officer from the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department was also killed in line of duty. Coronavirus is they're killing our cops, and also, you know, usual dirtbags are killing those cops. But anyways, let's get down to brass tacks. Sean, you're in New York, our wonderful former home for Walter and myself, also right in the middle of ground zero for COVID-19. What's going on in New York with this coronavirus?
Well, I can tell you the NYPD has been hit especially hard. I mean, they're on the front lines dealing with the public face-to-face. They only instituted, I think, maybe 10 days ago, the rule for officers to wear face masks. They didn't have that before. And as a result, well over 2,000 NYPD personnel, that would be cops and administrators, tested positive for coronavirus. We just had a funeral for a police officer yesterday. A number of police officers have died. So it is really has hit the police really hard. And at the same time, you have about 20% of the force has been calling in sick on a daily basis, while our brilliant mayor and governor are letting prisoners out like en masse. I mean, well over 1,500 prisoners have been released throughout New York State. So you've got cops out sick. You've got cops calling in sick. You've got cops who are contracting the virus and falling ill and then passing away. And then at the same time, you have the double whammy of all these prisoners being let loose. And as a result, burglaries in New York City are up by 75%. The cops I talked to say they're getting all kinds of calls for domestic disputes. A lot of it driven by substance abuse. So these are the untold stories going on behind the scenes while our national news media is sitting down trying to play gotcha with the president.
Wow. And Sean, what's your opinion of how is Donald Trump handling the coronavirus situation?
Well, I mean, he's navigating uncharted territory here. There's no playbook for this, and I think he's acquitted himself really well. He's been ahead of the curve on everything. First, he began by shutting down air travel from China into the United States. As a result, he was deemed a racist. He accurately named it the China virus, like the Ebola or Lyme disease or any of these the Spanish flu, any of these diseases or viruses that have been named after their point of origin. So he caught a lot of heat for that. You know, any excuse to call a conservative or a Republican a racist, believe me, the left is going to take it. Now, they have, you know, his political opponents, of course, have weaponized a pandemic. I mean, just the lowest of the low. I mean, just goes to my point that liberals will place their politics ahead of everything, even being a decent human being. He was right to shut down the air travel. He was right to shut down the United States when he did. He was right to name it the China virus. He has been on point in delivering much needed supplies to all the governors who do nothing but, you know, bitch and moan about the guy when until they need something. And, you know, whether it's Gavin Newsom out in California or Cuomo in New York. You know, they've both been in agreement that, yes, the president and his staff have been on this on point, totally, as has Mike Pence and the task force that Trump assembled back in January. He started his coronavirus task force on January 15th, the very day that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi delivered articles of impeachment against him. And while the left has been pursuing the impeachment route, Trump has been out there trying to fight to save lives. So I give the guy an A+, especially considering this has never really happened before. He's never even held public office, never mind the highest office in the land. And to be hit with something like this is really, I think the guy has done an admirable job, as has Mike Pence and everybody who's been involved, although this Dr. Fauci guy is someone I consider to be highly suspect.
Right. Well, Sean, you mentioned that a journalist has a chance to call Donald Trump or any Republican or anybody to the right of Karl Marx a racist. Is it me or is the media portraying that this coronavirus might be racist because the number of blacks who come down with the coronavirus and die of the coronavirus?
Well, listen, it has, you know, it's a highly contagious, very aggressive virus that, you know, tears through communities where you have people living in very close proximity to one another. And nowhere do you have people living in closer proximity to one another than you do in, you know, inner city, urban neighborhoods, housing projects. That's just the nature of this particular beast. But, you know, they'll never pass up an opportunity to sling the R word where and how they can. Because that's all they have. They have nothing of substance on anything other than racist, racist, racist. And I can tell you the American public is getting sick and tired of it. When you see 50 Cent,
Sean, hold
Kanye West.
Sean, hold it. Sean, hold that thought. We're coming to our first break. This is Peter Scoopstein with Walter Yerkew and our very special friend, Sean Bergen, on our 2-year anniversary. We're going to talk coronavirus, QAnon, and celebrate 2 years out of this radio show. Stay tuned, everybody.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back on our second anniversary special show. This is Peter Scoop standing with Walter Hugh and Sean Bergen. The current time is 22:20 Eastern Daylight Time. We are live, rocking and rolling. Just need to do a special shout out, Jack from London, who contacted me about a book. Jack, I'll get back to you. And also a special shout out my buddy John, who's a fireman. I'm not gonna say his department, but you can figure it out. His name is John. He likes to drink and he's divorced. I've been sucking the air out of the room. Walt, do you have any questions, comments for our brother in arms, Mr. Bergen?
Oh, Mr. Bergen, it's nice to talk to you again. It's been quite some time, too long, I should say.
Great to talk to you again, Walter.
My thing with this C-19, as I've been calling it, because, you know, I can't type that fast, so I just cut it down to C-19. You know, a little over a month ago, probably 5 weeks ago, we had both Billy D. Blasio and Nancy Pelosi, downtown New York, talking about we're going to Chinatown to go have some dinner. Everybody join us and stuff. Now, I haven't heard much out of either one of them. The Blasio was on Bill Hemmer a couple of days ago, just double talking Bill Hemmer's questions about it. Now they're all calling Mr. Trump, you know, xenophobe. That came from a creepy Joe Biden. That came from him. And then he's being called a racist by why are you calling the virus the China virus? And, you know, one word came from China. You know, there's no doubt about it. You know, 100 years ago in the 1917 Spanish flu that hit these United States, there was no social media. There was no radio, no television. Everybody depended on the truth that the press printed. Everybody read from the same paper on the corner because that's how bad it was back then. Nobody could afford a newspaper on their own. They each read more. Now we have all this input, and I would have to say 80% of it is wasted on the way the media wants us to believe it. It's their perception of what it should be. It's their opinion of what it is. Now, this
is really opening the eyes of a lot of conservatives and people on the left, I believe, because I've talked to a few. I have some friends that are on that side of the fence, and they are really sitting on top of the fence right now with their eyes looking. When this virus passes, and it will, do you see Election Day going off as Election Day with masks and distancing? And the second part of my question would be, is how hard do you think Pelosi and Chuckles are going to fight this next $250 billion money pack that Mr. Trump has signed and wants it to get it done for the small businesses? Do you see them holding it up until right before the election?
First of all, I think the election is going to go off as planned, without masks, without gloves, without social distancing. We're in May. We're 6 months away from the election. I think we have passed the peak of this virus. The death toll is starting to trail off in New York. I think yesterday we had about 540 deaths. But when you compare that to the average of 750 a day last week, it looks like the numbers are moving in the right direction. In addition to that, we also have two very promising treatments in the hydroxychloroquine protocol with azithromycin and a new drug that was just fast-tracked by Gilead called Resmetirom, I think is how it's pronounced, both of which have been hugely successful in treating coronavirus. So we're seeing hospitalizations are being cut down. Those people who are being admitted, the number of intubations is cut dramatically. The number of people on ventilators has been cut dramatically. Remember, it was only 10 days ago that Andrew Cuomo was crying like a weenie that he needed 30,000 ventilators, and he got the 30,000 ventilators, and he never had to put them to use, and now he's giving them away. So I think that... De Blasio and Nancy Pelosi came out very early on and tried to downplay the seriousness of this. And believe me, those quotes that you saw are going to run like a highlight reel coming into the election. The Democrats are doomed. Forget about it. I mean, Joe Biden can't remember what he was talking about midway through a sentence. I mean, he's just painful to watch. But more importantly, is that we're going to see the unsealing now of some very serious criminal indictments against high-ranking members of the Obama administration. And when that information is made public, it is going to turn the public against the Democrat Party in the way the world turned against the Nazi Party back in the 1940s. That's how bad it is. And that's why they are so desperately trying to do anything they can to pin on Trump. The Democrats fumbled their part in this badly. Pelosi fumbled it badly. De Blasio is a disaster. I mean, the guy is he's like a special needs mayor. I mean, I honestly don't know how on earth that guy was ever reelected. It just defies all logic. But the Russia collusion hoax that we knew was a hoax is now they're going to get their comeuppance. John Solomon released some very interesting reports over the last couple of days that subpoenas have already gone out in Washington, D.C. for John Durham's investigation into the Russian collusion hoax. You're going to see high-ranking members of the FBI taken down. Jim Comey's going to end up in handcuffs probably before Memorial Day. I would say John Brennan, that former head of the CIA, is not far behind. And, this goes straight to the top. This goes right to Obama himself. So, it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. I'm not sure if they're going to go after Biden until after the election. The only reason that he's running for president right now is to shield himself and his family from prosecution. And now there's talk that he may take Michelle Obama on as his running mate. I mean, these are like Hail Mary passes that Democrats are trying to throw in order to keep themselves out of trouble. But, I mean, right. Biden is up to his neck in a massive international money laundering scheme. All the Democrats were in on it. The Iran deal, they got massive kickbacks on. Those pallets of cash they sent to Iran, they took a rake off that. It's just going to be one thing after another. This coronavirus thing, I really think that 6 weeks from now, people are going to look in the rearview mirror like it was old history, ancient history. I just don't see it playing out that long. I think we've turned a corner on the virus. The peak is behind us. We've got promising medications. A vaccine will be right around the corner. You know, it's I don't see the coronavirus impacting the election one bit.
Okay. It's, you know, and you know, the learning curve of keeping yourself sanitized and clean and things like that. I think that was a good wake up call for a lot of people in this country, because there are a lot of filthy people around here. Talking about the underprivileged. I'm talking about the people that are just walking around in the streets. I believe I'm going to see more of, you know, people are going to wear masks anyway, and it's going to be accepted, and people are going to be sanitizing their hands, and it's going to be great. And I see that as a healthier way to live in our country. And that's why I believe Mr. Trump is on top of this 100%.
He's way ahead of the curve.
He didn't delay anything. He can only act on the information that you have and the information that people are willing to give you. And when China cut off information, Mr. Trump jumped right up onto the bandwagon, and he has been the driver for weeks. I mean, every day he's on television assuring them, this is what we're doing, people, and this is how we're going to beat it.
Yep.
Okay, that's our halfway point of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I love doing 7-5 Radio, because I can sit back and just enjoy the show, because, again, we don't have no scrubs on this show. Come back, we'll talk a little bit about QAnon and Out of Shadows and some other stuff. Then we'll get down to the party. Stay tuned, everybody.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says there are enough testing supplies to begin the first phase of reopening communities that are closed from the coronavirus pandemic.
Every day we're getting closer to the future that we all have been waiting for. I talk about the light at the end of the tunnel. We are getting very, very close to seeing that light.
But many governors are complaining they can't get enough tests done in time, and they don't have enough test kits yet. Though in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott says he's ready to start reopening.
We can adopt safe strategies that prevent the spread of COVID-19. And step by step, we will open Texas.
Stocks rallied around the world on Friday. The Dow was up 704 points. The Nasdaq up 117. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
If you're lucky enough to still have an income during the coronavirus pandemic, you might be wondering what you should do with your stimulus check. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has a few answers.
As millions of Americans begin to receive their stimulus check, many people are wondering what they should do with it. According to financial expert Chris Hogan, he says we need to remain in conserve mode just in case things get worse and the economy doesn't open up.
I think a lot of people are anticipating another stimulus package or another something else coming down the pike. And I want people to understand these stimulus checks and these programs are just a Band-Aid. We have got to step forward and be proactive with a plan to help ourselves. We can't expect the government to try to save the day time and time again. So I'm advising people to go into conserve mode, begin to have a game plan for yourself for the next couple of months, but be proactive, scale back in your spending, be very intentional on when you do spend, but at the same time, be aware.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
Yep, we are still listening. This is Peter Scoop with Walter Yerke and Sean Bergen. I do not call Sean Bergen a guest because he is a brother. He is part of this network, and he has an open, he has a seat at the table. So, in fact, there's plenty of times I've asked Sean to host the show because of whatever things Walter and I have going on. Unfortunately, he can't do it, but we're very glad to have him on. Sean, just one more question before we finally move on to our next subject. From what I understand, Joe Biden is looking for a female vice presidential candidate.
Well, that's the word on the street, yeah. I don't know if he's going to find one in Big Mike Michelle Obama, though.
Yeah, that's
what I was thinking. Right? So, anyways, yeah, because rumor has it that Michelle needs to relieve her bladder, or his bladder, standing up, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Anyways, moving right along, QAnon. Recently, a movie or video clip came out on YouTube from a person who's been in Hollywood for almost 30 years called Out of Shadows. And what really drew me back was that he talked about things that you heard on this network for years. We talked about the Pizzagate. Talked about spirit cooking, the satanic symbolism, the people involved in Satan, people selling their souls, become famous. And I was like, great, this is, you know, just confirmed what we've been saying for years. Sean, you care to comment about the video clip Out of Shadows?
Yeah, Out of Shadows is a 60-minute documentary that was put together by a stuntman in Hollywood who knew, you know, Hollywood from the inside out. It was the man's name escapes me now, but it was two stuntmen actually featured in it, in addition to Liz Crokin, who was a very highly regarded journalist until she started reporting on what are basically global pedophile rings that are into all kinds of really freaky deaky stuff as it relates to, you know, Luciferian satanic worship and the consumption of adrenochrome. And, you know, it's really too much probably for your average person to stomach. But, you know, there are people out there who've been talking about this problem for years, about the pedophilia rings in Hollywood and Washington and New York. And they, you know, everybody from Mel Gibson to Corey Feldman, you know, has been talking about this. And I think it's been slowly now being brought out into the public domain because people can, you know, start to slowly digest this and get their head around what is, you know, really just an unconscionable and shocking practice.
Right. And also our good friend, brother in arms, name is Lionel Harris. He's a professional comic. He's now on the QAnon bandwagon, and he did a clip, a 48-minute clip about everything about Pizzagate. But Sean, is this all related to the Satanism, the Illuminati, the Pizzagate? Is it all related? Because it seems to be the same cast of characters from one thing into another.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pizzagate really began with this pizza place in your hometown of Washington, D.C. is known as Comet Ping Pong, and it's owned by James Alefantis, who is related to the Rothschild family. And Alefantis was once romantically linked with the guy behind Media Matters, and he was listed as one of the most powerful people in Washington. Yeah, James
right.
Brock. Now, how does a guy who owns a pizza place end up being one of the most powerful people in Washington? And why does a guy who owns a pizza place have such connections at, you know, to the highest reaches of the U.S. government? This is all very puzzling stuff. And the more you get into it and the more you open up that can of worms and go down that rabbit hole, the more disturbing it appears. Now, Alifantis actually appeared on Megyn Kelly's Fox News show when she was still at Fox. All you have to do is look at his Instagram page at the really disturbing photographs and images that are on there that depict, you know, pedophilia type stuff and the torture of children. And some of the videos that I've seen that have come out of that comment ping pong are really, really disturbing. And I think that Harvey Weinstein is probably, in an effort to save his big fat ass, spilling the beans on all of these folks out in Hollywood who are into, you know, they're just a bunch of kid touchers.
Right. Now, do you think Harvey Weinstein will end up the same way as Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know if Epstein is was killed. I think there's a very good case to be made for the fact that he may actually still be alive. I don't know. You know, whoever was on that gurney that they wheeled into the hospital, it was not Jeffrey Epstein. You can tell just by looking at the profile of his nose and his ear configuration, which is unique to every human being. That guy who was on that gurney going into the hospital was not Jeff Epstein. So. It's unfathomable to me that a guy like Epstein would even have an opportunity to kill himself. That whole scene looked and appeared staged to me. So I think there's another shoe to drop on that. Weinstein be killed? I don't know. I heard that he's got his own floor to himself on the sixth floor of you know wherever. Or I don't know where they're keeping him now, but in Rikers. But he's got a whole.
Well, who knows where he's at?
Yeah, he's in Wendy Correctional Facility. Weinstein is in Wendy Correctional Facility. That's a New York State facility, and it's just outside of Buffalo. It's a relatively new, like compared to Attica or Clinton. It's relatively new, and he's in the infirmary protective custody section, like where they keep the AIDS and HIV positive in there. That is sick. So he's got 24 hour service. I mean, you know, he's just not getting out of bed. You know, he's walking around a little bit and he's just not getting out of bed. He's getting food served to him. He's getting 100% medical all the way across the board. And he's doing just fine.
He's playing his bunk like a punk. But I don't think he's going to last long in prison. I think, you know, he's not in very good health to begin with. And I just don't see him lasting very long. Not when you go from living the life that he led to, you know, being stuck in a prison infirmary. That would depress the hell out of anybody.
Well, you know, he may very, very well be penning a deal with the federal government, like Sammy the Canary Gravano did, to save his skin, just do 5 years and put these other people in. Including the Clintons and whomever. May have visited that island. What he could do.
Half of Hollywood visited that island.
That's right. And the Corey Feldman story and all that stuff is coming out. There was a lot of surprised people that Harvey got convicted. There was a lot of surprised people, and especially in the time they tacked on to him. So he pretty much got a death sentence, unless the government pens a deal for him. And I wouldn't mind that so much because, you know, Harvey will never be a free man, even if they let him out. He won't be able to show his face public. So I'm sure he can put a lot of light on those shadows, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he already has.
But do you think the Justice Department or the, New York State Attorney General try to flip Weinstein or just let him sit there and rot?
No, I think they're going to try to flip him. That's my opinion. What do you think, Sean?
I think they probably already have flipped him. I think that he's, probably been singing like a canary since he ended up in Rikers Island. Now he's in an upstate prison. That guy is doing everything in his power to save his roly-poly wrinkled elephant looking ass.
I take you're not a fan of Mr. Weinstein's work.
Listen, I mean, one of the first people who blew the whistle on him was a young newscaster by the name of Lawrence Devon, who I know personally. And his antics have been well known to a lot of people for a long time. Everybody knew what Harvey was up to. You know, we heard Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes, you know, saying, listen, you know, this guy and Epstein, we know they're, you know, friends of yours. So I think the question is going to be who's going down as a result of this? You know, who are the big kid touchers out there who have been, you know, engaging in this practice for years and going on stage? And it's like some of the most powerful people in Hollywood, from what I can gather, you know, and Tom Hanks might be among them. Steven Spielberg, I've heard his name mentioned. I mean, it's Hollywood royalty right there.
All right. Enough about the kid touchers. Guys, when we come back, we're going to talk about our 2 years here on the radio. This is Scoop Stand with Walter Yerkew and Sean Bergen. Stick around, everybody. 2 years on the radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew. I mean, Walter Yerkew. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. This is the second anniversary of 7-5 Radio. Our first show was broadcast on April 18th, 2018, and what a hell of a ride it's been. I'm just going to go quickly through my thoughts. And folks, everything we talked about, you can look at our website. It's 75radio.org, the number 75, radio spelled RADIO.ORG. Also, you need to follow Sean Bergen at Sean Bergen News, S-E-A-N-B-E-R-G-I-N News on Twitter. Look up Sean Bergen on Facebook. He is one of the greatest reporters on the planet. Real quick, you know, first and foremost, there wouldn't be any 7.5 radio without Walter Yerkew. I watched the 7.5 movie. I said, wow, this is a whole bunch of stuff I never learned when I was in the police department. He'd be great for the cesspool, possibly Red 42 radio. So then I got talking to him for 90 minutes. That first conversation was like therapy because I was going through some stuff with the missus, and I'm still going through some stuff with the missus. So not much changed in 2 years. I said, you know, he's destined to do something other than just to be a one-time Johnny, just like Sean Berg. And once you come on Liberty News and myself, once you come on Liberty News Radio, you just don't go away if you're a decent. Some of the other things, last year we got to go in CPAC. This year we were not allowed in CPAC. We talked about the NFL and the people kneeling down, and guess what? People are forget about the sports, and Old Glory is still flying high. We got involved with Thomas Outlaw Racing. Our not so sexy intern Mike Guerin joined us. He got us involved with that. He got us with a T-shirt. Mike Guerin is our marketing director. He marketed himself so well. He's on another podcast, and he's doing promotions with Boyce Speedway down in Georgia. So we couldn't do things with Mikey. Guest list. We've had besides other Liberty talent, besides Mr. Bergen and Jim and Mike, we had Mike Dowd and Adam Diaz, who were great. We had JB Gunner on YouTube, who's turning it up. He's looking to do something with us when his schedule clears up. Also, Lionel Black Rosebud Harris. Not only was he a great guest, but he hosted the show. And not only did he host the show, he brought on a guest himself. So he's great. Also, we had Joe Johnson from the infamous Fort Apache precinct. He was on he's our first guest on R&B Confessions. He's looking forward to do that again. He was a great guy. Gary Byrne, retired Secret Service officer who had the dirt on the Clintons. Hopefully he has a kill switch and not a victim of Arkansas suicide. Then we had retired Colonel Joe Martin, who I met at CPAC. He was an amazing guest. He was a Twitter follower, and he knew his stuff. He must have thought I was really something. Here I am, former Navy, fat, hairy, just a pile of crap. But he's a great guy. But anyways, also Lenny Dykstra, who is, a World Series champion and consistent bad boy. But anyways, we wouldn't have 7.5 Radio without people like Sam Bushman, who puts up with us, puts out this great show. Sean Bergen, who does help us behind the scene. James Edwards, who do the crazy voiceovers. Mike Guerin, who works his ass off. There's plenty of the work. And also Walter Yerkew. So thank you very much. Walt, take it away.
Man, you know, it's just like a family. You know, you just keep inviting people to dinner, and we don't want them to leave. And
exactly.
Every week we're cooking. So whoever wants to sit down and break bread with us, man, they're more than welcome. And I've appreciated, you know, about every minute that I've done on this show with you inviting me and coming up with the idea to do 7.5 Radio. You know, it's 2 years, man. It's 2 years already. So it's hard to even think that it was going to last 6 months, let alone 2 years. Because I told you, I'll try it for like 6 months. We'll see how it goes. So, you know, here we are, you know, 24 months later, going into our 25th month. And, you know, we just kind of keep going until, you know, radio doesn't exist, you know, or one of us dies.
Right.
One or the other. But that's why I go out and I wear my skeleton face mask and nobody comes near me. So I'm good to go.
Right. And that picture we have on 75radio.org. That was taken at Christmas. He's with the little ones at Santa Claus and just scared the hell out of everybody. Police were called and everything. He almost shut down the mall. Anyways, Sean, you know, you're part of this family too, because like when I was on cesspool, I always said political cesspool family. You know, they're a family. Sam and Liberty Roundtable, part of the family. Sean, you're everywhere. Of course, you're definitely family. What's your thoughts on this little show that could or shouldn't? Real quick, just be honest.
I think it's great. I think it's listen. I think it's fantastic that you guys highlight the sacrifices that made by the American law enforcement community that you are constantly there shining a light on officers and the struggles that they are faced with in this day and age. It is very, very difficult to be a police officer today when everyone walking around has you under surveillance with their cell phones, and you have Democrat politicians who cast you as the enemy. And then, of course, you have a corrupt news media that fosters and legitimizes cop killing organizations like Black Lives Matter. You know, and then, of course, our last president, who had that organization up to the White House to visit him. I mean, you know, that whole culture really created such an anti-cop mentality, especially amongst people in America's inner cities, whose lives are being saved by police officers every single day. I mean, these young gangbangers who are out there shooting up their own communities, I mean, the only people who are out there who have the courage and the guts and the moral fortitude to put a stop to that are America's police officers, and there's not enough credit given to them, and the fact that you guys have stepped up and dedicated a huge portion of your time to you know to defending the police officers and highlighting the great work that they do and the terrible sacrifices that they and their families have to endure. I think you guys both deserve medals for that.
Thank you, Sean. And it's like a penance. You know, I was kicked off because for off-duty incident involving alcohol. Walter, well, you know, we told his story 100 times. But I honestly could say we've done more for law enforcement than if we did 20 years wearing the bag, which I'm proud of. And, Sean, it was you when you texted me that Saturday back in December of 2015. It's like, hey, two New York City cops are shot and killed. I'm going to the scene. And I said, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, and it just clicked. It's like, you know what? Nobody's talking for the cops. They always talk about the cops. And I've heard just about everybody say, oh, I'm friends with cops. I got cops are friends. And but then again, you never hear say, oh, yeah, me and two guys from this department, this precinct, or this division went to go play golf or hang out with some beers. They always say, oh, you know, they're always friends with the cops when it's convenient for them. And you know what? We had active duty cops on the show, and you know, we had retired cops on the show. In fact, you know, sooner than later, we're gonna have other retired cops on the show because they can state how they really feel, and we'll have cops who are active duty saying, "Man, this job is the pits." But you know, so if it wasn't for you talking about Wen-Jin Liu and the Rafael Ramos, then you know, we would have been somewhere else. But you know, we thank you for that. And you know what? That show on December 15th was one of the hardest political successful episodes we ever done, in my opinion. When you were talking about the incident with Lou and Ramos, you can hear me under my breath yelling, Jesus. That was also one of the best shows we ever have done because, you know, we all spoke from the heart, you know, last minute. And again, we thank you. You know, I can't thank you and James and Sam and, of course, Mr. Yurku enough for everything you've done. Because I got a million one things on my plate here in the District of Columbia fighting these perverts and losers and degenerates. You know, I live in an area where it's very, very, very hard to find a Trump bumper sticker out there. And when I do, I put a business card in. But, you know, there are some Trump supporters. I think I'm at the third in the whole metropolitan area. But anyways, it's been a fun ride. It's still a fun ride. When it's no longer fun, then I'm going to hang it up. Closing comments, sir?
I just want to thank Sean for coming on live. I think it's the first live one I've ever done, besides being right on the cesspool. But it's, you know, sometimes it's hard to think quick enough to say things when you know you're being, you know, listening to a lot of people live. So I just want to thank people out there in the audience. Keep the emails coming. Keep your texts coming. Keep your posts coming. I've been in touch with a few people to do a couple of shows this summer, and we're going to see how that goes. They want to do stuff, you know, out in public now, you know, when the states open up and everybody gets back to business.
All right, well, that's another one in the can. I can't thank Walter and Sean enough. Sean, of course, you know that you have a seat at our table. You know, it's the permanent anyways. Folks, thanks
well, good
for
to know.
Support.
Thanks very much for having me, guys, and keep up the good work, all right?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to us on StonefireRadio.org. Stay safe out there. We hope to hear from you soon. Have a good one, everybody.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.